Hey, good morning. It is 8:45. Roanoke delegate Sam Rasool going back to Richmond next month when the General Assembly reconvenes. And this time with a new governor in the executive mansion, Ralph Northam will succeed fellow Democrat Terry McAuliffe in 2018. Sam Rasool joins WFIR anchor reporter Gene Moreno and me in studio to talk about the upcoming session. And Sam, we appreciate your time and welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Joey and Gene.
Absolutely. Now, Sam, if you can reflect on your two terms under Governor McAuliffe, but as a member of the minority in the House of Delegates, Sam, were you able to accomplish some of the items on your agenda? And is there more bipartisanship than many might think?
Yeah, I think, you know, about 90% of things are fairly bipartisan. But what happens is, of course, we see many times in the press what hits the headlines are the kind of big ticket things, and that can be pretty divisive. But there, you know, I've had great relationships and been able to pass legislation every single year, and hopefully we'll be able to do more of that now with a kind of more evenly split legislature.
Yeah, we wanted to bring that up. You know, the Democrats made up a lot of ground, Sam, in the election last month in the House of Delegates. It's almost split right down the middle. Will that encourage more bipartisanship? Will it encourage more of the majority Republicans to work with the minority Democrats now that they're so close? Or does it maybe make people dig in their heels more?
Maybe makes them dig in their heels more, but we really don't know until the end of next week. Right now, there's a 49-51 split, but there are multiple recounts, which we will not know the result of, and there's a huge difference between being at 49, 50, or 51 for either party. So we'll see what it produces. I'm hoping we'll be able to work together on some bigger things as well, but certainly with a more even split, there'll be people from both parties who will want to work together.
We're talking with Roanoke area delegate Sam Rasool. I think it's interesting Governor McAuliffe is promising the strongest fiscal budget in history when he introduces it next week. I don't know if you know much about that, but it's interesting that the outgoing governor introduces the budget, but then he's not around for the debate and the bill signing as the new governor takes in. That's just the way Virginia does it.
Yeah, we're a conservative state that we're kind of set in our old ways. It doesn't make a lot of sense to a lot of folks, but certainly we're looking forward to seeing what he announces early next week.
Anything in the tea leaves you can tell us about that, what he might be alluding to, the strongest budget in history?
Well, what we do know is that it is going to be a tight budget season. In addition to replenishing the rainy day fund, we have a re-benchmarking year in education, so there'll be increased dollars there. Increased dollars that we need to be putting in health care. We also want to create a new what we call revenue reserve fund, which is kind of another lesser restrictive rainy day fund. So I think you'll see a fairly tight, fiscally responsible budget for sure.
And we should mention this is the long session, the biennial budget, so this is the big budget process.
It is, yeah. So we'll be spending the next couple few months debating the budget and about a couple thousand pieces of legislation.
We're talking with Roanoke delegate Sam Rasool. I wanted to ask you about Governor Ralph Northam, governor-elect. You've gotten to know him, I'm sure, during the campaign. Very different personality-wise than Terry McAuliffe. You see some differences as far as the direction governor-elect Northam might want to take it in, any pet projects that he has?
Well, certainly some differences. I will tell you, Governor Northam, this will be the last thing he ever runs for, so he'll have a different tone. He is going to, you know, he's a Virginia country boy and wants to, you know, be able to go out on top as Virginia governor, which is a pretty neat thing. So what he wants to do is build relationships. In almost every one of these legislative panels I've been to since the election with my Republican colleagues, I've heard nothing but glowing remarks about Governor Northam as we've worked with him in the legislature.
From both sides.
This is in particular from the Republican side. I think we're looking forward to being able to work together. And the top two things that kind of came out of lessons from this past election for Governor Northam, number one, he was very sad as to the divisiveness that we saw in our politics. He'd love to be able to work on that tone. And number two, he thought it was just absurd that he had to raise $38 million to run for governor. He thinks that Virginia deserves better in both our politics and our campaign finance system. So I think he will work towards some reforms there.
Well, it really became a national race, one of only two governor races in the country, and really became kind of a battleground for Republicans and Democrats nationally.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask you, we're talking with Delegate Sam Rasool, Mountain Valley Pipeline. You were a vociferous critic of the pipelines. The wheels are in motion, it seems, Sam, to put them, to get them to move forward. They've gotten, you know, certain levels of approvals. Anything at this stage that can stop it, or anything the legislature can do to maybe put safeguards in place that if they do go forward, that there are ways to protect property rights and protect localities from getting sediment in the rivers, things like that?
It's clear that the state has a responsibility and can, through the State Water Control Board, as we've seen over the past couple of weeks, can put the brakes on this. Let me be clear. This is the largest pipeline project to come through Virginia in Virginia history, and they're going to put this largest pipeline through the mountains here in Appalachia. There is no safe way of doing this without it impacting our water. And for this $3.5 billion project, for the profit of a company from Pittsburgh to pound this down our throats, this is the water fight of our generation. And I was just with a group of farmers this past week, and they were very concerned about government and government's control over their water sources. They were very concerned about what's going to be happening to our region. Anyone that cares about our water in this region should be concerned about this pipeline coming through.
So you still think there are some legal methodologies that can be used to stop it at this point?
The State Water Control Board did not give a complete rubber stamp to these projects. They said that we are going to be looking at the water impacts, which is a really good sign. And in addition to that, there are multiple pieces of litigation now that have arisen. And I think we need to fight this with everything that we have. Do not let the promise of maybe some future, a handful of jobs that could come from this pipeline. There are other incentives we can offer without having to potentially sacrifice the quality of our water in this region, because once that is lost, there's very little we can do.
852 at WFIR. We are speaking with Roanoke Delegate Sam Rasool. And Sam, if you would, a multifaceted question for you here. The tax bill that could be voted on in Congress next week, Sam, does it eliminate the federal historic tax credit as far as you can tell? Is the 25% state credit imperiled if that happens? And is there anything, Sam, the state could do to replace the 25% federal credit if that goes away?
Well, we don't know until the final version passes. I mean, just this morning, they're still negotiating some pieces, kind of going back and forth. But what I will say is, you know, there's a somewhat of an appetite in the legislature for working on tax reform measures. As we know, the historic tax credits have been very important to our economic development here in the Roanoke Valley. Should the federal portion go away, I can guarantee you in this environment, a fiscal environment in our state, we will not be able to make that up. So this is really an economic development issue, I think, for the Roanoke Valley. I hope that that does not happen.
We talk with Sam Rasool, delegate from Roanoke. A couple minutes, I want to fire a question at you. You just introduced a bill to restore the electric utility rate review process. What happened in 2015 to change that process? You called it in your release a corrupt bill.
The most corrupt utility bill ever that was passed was in 2015. We have a body that oversees regulated monopolies. We say, electric companies, you get to be a monopoly, but you can only make so much profit because you can't be gouging ratepayers. We have a body called the SCC, State Corporation Commission, that's supposed to oversee that. In 2015, we passed a law saying, oh, you don't have to oversee them for the next 5 years. You know, Republicans from around the country, just their jaws dropped saying, how could any legislature pass such a law? And unfortunately, it's because of the corrupting influence of money in politics. We're 46th in the nation as far as money in politics. So finally, I think the tides have turned and people are realizing, because studies have proven now, retrospectively, that ratepayers are paying too much on their electric bills all throughout the Commonwealth because of this bill. I look forward to working with on both sides of the aisle, because this is a bipartisan dissension. I was part of a press conference with former Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli last year, saying this has to stop. So I look forward to being able to work on this legislation with Republicans.
When you have about a minute left, I wanted to ask you about infrastructure real quick. The federal spending infrastructure bill President Trump has touted, the one version I saw last week would provide seed money from the feds, but that would put the onus on the states to provide the rest of it. For major infrastructure projects, Sam, at this point in Virginia, is there money for major infrastructure projects, widening 81, things like that?
Well, certainly the state has some transportation dollars, and we spend state transportation dollars on 81, but it can only be piecemeal, working on ramp projects, et cetera. What we need is significant investment if we want to see like a third lane all up and down I-81. The state can leverage some dollars for sure. The bulk of it, though, will have to come from the federal government. As we know, the state doesn't have the spending authority that the federal government does. So I look forward to hopefully having some kind of transportation measure.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there. Roanoke Delegate Sam Rasool, General Assembly session starts next month. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.